Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
There's been a seismic shift in the media news landscape in Chicago, and it happens the Chicago way, if you will. As many of you saw, I'm sure, and must have read, John Cass has done the unthinkable 2 days ago, and that, at least in my mind, it would have been unthinkable 2 days ago, but John Cass is no longer the lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune, something that hasn't been that way since almost my entire life. So my entire life, John Cass has been the page two columnist at the Chicago Tribune. We were a Tribune family growing up. You know, it's called the Daily Herald because we grew up in the suburbs, but every day we got a paper, and every time I would see my dad or my mom reading Cass, and one of them shaking their head and the other nodding along, and you can, I'll let you decide who's who than that one, but it was a staple of what Chicago was, what the understanding of what Chicago was. It was, you know, a window into the big city from us suburban folk. And the time has come for John Cass to leave the Chicago Tribune high up in that tower. And you've come here to the Chicago way to get the 411, to get the scoop on what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and what's next for John Cass. And we are going to deliver that to you today for the next 25 minutes. And we couldn't do that without one John Cass. Casso, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I would say not seismic shift. I would say earthquake. I left the Chicago Tribune. I've loved, let me put it in past tense, I loved the Chicago Tribune, and I have no regrets about the Tribune or what they've given to me, because I got to talk to people, not just, you know, politicians and big shots and all that, but the regular people, the folks that built the Chicago Way, the people that get crushed on the Chicago Way. And the Chicago Way extends everywhere. But, you know, we have a new sponsor, Jeff. A new sponsor for the Chicago Way. First sponsor.
Yeah, we're taking sponsorships now. This is no longer a passion project, but we'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, who's our first sponsor, John?
Our first sponsor is none other than johncassnews.com.
Yeah.
Because that's where I am now. People say, oh, how do I find you? Where are you? JohnCassNews.com. Can I read it like some AM John?
That's www.johncassnews.com.
Yeah. Yep. It's real easy to find, and it's a pretty slick website.
It is.
I'm going to write columns there. I'm going to, you know, you're not going to miss me. You're not going to miss the columns. I have, you know, after Jeff and I get done, I got to start writing. And you can find also, you can subscribe by email. It's free. You can subscribe. You can comment there. It's just really nice. JohnCassNews.com. And I feel really good about it because I've been feeling really bad, extremely bad for quite some time. And I thought that my final column, which kind of shocked a lot of people, including at the news in the newspaper, some knew it was coming because of circumstances around what was happening with the buyouts, but others were surprised. And I just wanted to, in the last column, I just wanted to thank my readers because they've always had my back. They had my back when Daly wanted to get me fired early on, you know, with the infamous, mm-hmm. what was that? The infamous, let's say, Italian parade queen incident, right? Where Daly held news conferences, morning, news, and night, trying to drive me out of the paper. And then the Chicago Tribune was run by journalists who said, no, mayor, you don't dictate who's going to, you know, right. don't dictate our moves.
That's not how it works.
And then, you know, later with the Duffs, Daly's friends, the Duffs,
mm-hmm.
tough guys that came down the stairs swaggering at Gene and Giorgetti and asked, why don't they see my children play in the front yard? After I'd been going after him for years. And Tom Serafin and the late Joe Tiber and police superintendent Leroy Martin were there. Kind of stupid, right? To speak in front of these guys. And I wrote a column about it, and the Tribune backed me. And, you know, the Tribune backed me. I mean, the readers backed me and said they'd stand in front of my – they said they would stand in front of my driveway.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, when I read that, I realized that I wasn't writing for the editors of the Tribune or its shareholders or any of that. What I was writing for were those people who were going to stand in my driveway and said so. Cops, firemen, firefighters now, I guess, teachers, everybody, so many people. And then they stood up for me again just last year when everything went kind of curdled. And I write for them. So johncastnews.com, that's where I'm going to be. And I have to figure out my first column because I don't know how the Tribune is going to take it, but that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah. You got to make you. I mean, at that. So, John, take me to the moment when you had to say to the page turn. And you're like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do this thing. Was it an email? You had to write a letter, a phone call to accept the buyout? I mean, take me to that moment because I got to feel that there's a lot of nervous energy or energy going into that. Not nerves, but, you know, just that feeling that everything you've done to this point and you're essentially closing the door on that part of it. I mean, take me to that moment when you're closing that door, essentially.
Well, I will. I'll take you all to that moment, but I'm not going to talk about legal stuff like buyout or separation agreements. All sure, that stuff is in the hands of lawyers.
Nah,
we went around with it. We went around and around. My last column, some wanted me to say that I wasn't fired, and I wasn't fired, but I'm not going to get into that stuff because it's just a legal thing. But emotionally,
yeah,
I never wanted to leave the Tribune. And I felt emotionally, separating all the other stuff, I felt that the Tribune left me. You could see it over the years. When I started, the Chicago Tribune was the conservative voice of the Midwest. And I'm a conservative. I grew up in Chicago as a Democrat. I was part of the, you know, supported Carter, supported Jimmy Carter.
Peanuts.
Yeah, peanuts. Peanuts. Jimmy. But things changed, right? The Democratic Party left me. I didn't leave them. The Chicago Tribune left me in the sense that you could see things. It's not just me. It's not just me and the Tribune. It's, I think, readers and news in general. We've talked about this with Tom Bevan a number of times, and I really love that interview we did with him a couple times ago.
All right.
And he breaks it down. The universities, spewed out wokeism instead of scholarship. And you know what's funny? Young reporters go to university too. Right. And so newsrooms across the country, look at what's happened in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Newsrooms across the country have gone woke, and there's no problem with people having different ideas. That's what I love. Don't you, Jeff? Isn't that what you do?
Absolutely.
I want different ideas. Remember Herb Kupcinet years ago? Some people might not remember him. That's how much of a geezer I am now. But Herb Kupcinet talked about the lively art of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Malcolm X on his show, which I wish he was alive so we could have him here on the Chicago Way to tell me what Malcolm X thinks of all these woke white liberals. But all that changed. All that began changing. And I thought that the column I was writing or wanted to write, which was sometimes politics, sometimes, you know, people in the neighborhoods, those people were not being listened to. The people that listened to the Chicago Way were not being listened to by what we call now mainstream media.
Yeah.
And when they're not listened to, then that opens up avenues for other people to become more extreme. And then the other side becomes more extreme. And then they fight over extreme positions. Most people just want to have a beer, sit in their backyard, make sure their kids are safe. Maybe retire with, so they're not, you know, working at Walmart till they're 90, which I hope I won't be if John Cass News works, and I hope it does.
I don't think that color would look good on you, John.
You don't think so?
Nah.
Well, guess what? Mike, you know, if you lose your restaurant, what do? You open up a hot dog stand. If you lose the hot dog stand, you sell apples on the streets. If you do that, if you lose that, you shine shoes. And my family, my grandfathers did all that. My grandfather was a shoe shiner when he came to America. That's why I never understood all this. You can't go to a shoe shine guy. My grandfather did it. Because people do what's necessary. Everybody listening here does what's necessary for their families. And it's all I'm doing by starting this new thing, John Cass News, and inviting people to come along for the adventure. And Jeff, it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. It was the hardest column I ever wrote in my life.
Yeah. And that was probably more my question is that probably better phrased as, you know, how was it when the last typewriter strike of that last column? I know we're not using typewriters anymore, but you get my point. I mean, what was that? I mean, that was the moment, and then that door closes, right? I mean, I have not made that many tough decisions in my life like that. That's for sure. But
we've all made tough decisions.
Sure, but not like that. I mean, not seismic. And John, for the record, seismic shift is what the technical term of an earthquake is. So the same thing.
Sorry, Mr. Science. you'd see at the bottom of the column, there's a line, the last line. Let's see. Let's see what happens. And then the last line is -30-.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on it with our good friend, Kristen McQuarrie. Great boss, editorial page editor of the Chicago Tribune. She was just great. And it was tough for both of us and quite emotional. But you know, she understood that I had to write this, and she shepherded it through so that nobody could make any last, you know, little tweaks and changes. You know, they know I'm leaving. Maybe they want to change or try to change what was in there, and she wouldn't allow that. She is so courageous and such a virtuous person, a good person.
Yeah.
And that last headline, to my loyal readers, until next time, I thought was pretty gracious of the Chicago Tribune. because they knew what I, they didn't know what I was doing. They didn't know I was setting up, I set up the johncastnews.com. So, sure. So the moment, Jeff, tell the story, Jeff, because you were there in the, you were there involved.
you're talking about the scoop of your last story?
After they Trib leaked it out that I was leaving and Cranes got it.
Right.
Which I thought was unfortunate, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'll take you to the scene and on my, you know, John and I've known this obviously for John was letting me know pieces of this and for weeks now, but I didn't know everything obviously, cause that's not how things work. But I did know ahead of time and it was tough, John. Everyone around the station at WGN is talking about this person leaving and that person leaving. Oh my gosh. And this, of course, there's me being like, the Tribune's never going to be the same. Oh, yeah. Huh? And John, on the Friday, this is the Friday that this all went down, had sent me a note. I don't remember exactly, but you were telling me that the plan for how things were going to roll out, that the column was going to go this time of the day, and you and I were going to do the podcast at this time. And you mentioned that the website was ready. And it was good to go. It was going to go live. And
kind of so crafty, huh?
Yeah, pretty, very crafty. Very, your brother would be proud in the clandestine world, that's for sure. And I remember just that I went like, oh, let me check it out, see if what's up on the page. And I saw the website was already up. And I was like, well, that's when it struck me, John, for me, you know, as an outsider, but on that kind of, you know, not being you.
What's the name of that website again?
JohnCastNews.com.
And so you went to the website. Here's the thing. Jeff goes to it. He's like, what the hell? What's going on? I said, check this out. He goes to the website. He sees it. He sees, in my opinion, it's pretty slick and professional and easy to read. It's like Tom Serafin, who helped me with it. He's so bright. He understands everything.
Yeah.
Tom said, you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan.
You got to have a plan, John.
You don't just leave. You have to have a plan about the next adventure.
Yep.
And he helped me put it up in a good, there were great web designers from, I think, Yellow Box Agency helped put it together. Mm-hmm. And it was ready. It was ready as I was leaving. So I linked to it in tweets and thousands of people came to it already. So we'll see.
Yeah. But,
the long term was that the short term, everybody, was that Jeff's text message to me was like WTF or something like that. What the hell? What's going on?
I mean, so, and I was looking at it. I was, you know, talking about texting back and forth with you as we were planning things. And then I'm sitting in our booth at WGN. And Steve Bertrand comes in and he tells me that, you know, Cranes has got it. He's like, okay, that John's leaving. And I'm like, what? I don't know anything about that. And then, so then I level with him and just like, yeah, I knew he was leaving. He's like, well, you should call John because I'm going to mention it on air and so that he doesn't think you got it from me. You know, and that's how Steve's brain works. He's a gentleman.
He's
yeah, nice right. Guy. Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't even think of that. Like I was like, oh, crazy.
Yeah. I see. Because if I heard Steve say it, I would be like, Jeff, why did you betray me? Right. But it was already done.
It had already been done. So
just a matter of minutes.
The Tribune
felt when they saw the Cranes thing up, because we were really going to publish on the web at 5 a.m. Sunday. Mm-hmm. When they saw the Cranes thing up, they go, we got to go with this. Could we go with this? Because at least they always let me pick the time that my columns would go live online. Yeah. And I said, yeah. And it worked out because people were wondering where would I go? Mm-hmm. What would I do? Where could they find me? And now they can find me. Man, I sound like one of these shills, but you know, it's my life now.
Right. Well, yeah.
They could find me at johncastnews.com.
www.johncastnews.com.
Just type that in.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, P.T. Barnum, you know, he made a thing of, you got to promote number one to make sure you're number one. So I don't think you're shilling in a bad way. But
I'm not trying to be number one. I'm just trying to be a guy who tells the same story that I have always told, and I'm still going to tell it on the Chicago Way and on in my column on johncastnews.com. But you know what, Jeff? What do I write about the first day? Man, I don't know. Like, it's like you leave the paper after 35 years, you'd think you'd go into the garden, putter around, bother your friends, take up golf, or be one of those old guys at Panera, you know, like the five guys at the right. Panera.
Wow. Or to the McDonald's. There's a McDonald's on the street from us that has a gentleman's meeting every morning. That's my favorite.
The Panera Papoos. old grandfathers at Panera. No way. I'm not doing that.
Well, I love that you thanked, you know, you're very gracious in your exit and thanking all the people who, you know, helped you get there. In line, you mentioned that, you know, how you said that one of the biggest lessons you learned was that, you know, no columnist is an island, essentially, that you're not writing alone. And you remember saying that and making that mistake, but learning from it and realizing how foolish you might have been in that sense. And I've met almost all of your previous leg men, if you will. And
they had to put up with me.
Right. But, right. They all had to put up with you. And for those listening, John cannot be easy at times. He's just, and it's not out of anything spite or malice or anything like that. It's all about getting the best product out there. So it's a tough guy, but you learn a lot. And that's the one thing that I working with John for the years I have, and then meeting almost all the legmen, and their sentiment towards John is almost universal, in the sense that it's, you know, people who want to take John of the wood chipper over something, you know, in a column because it doesn't conform to their world view, think it's a personal thing, or think John is in, you know, is got hate in his heart. And the only people that John doesn't like are people who take advantage of others. And that's at least in my experience.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when you were sitting, you were producing the radio, you were in concert with, you know, Liam Ford and Courtney Flynn and Matt Wahlberg and Tom Grabarczyk, I'm just reading now.
Yeah.
Jason Meisner, Angie Leventis Lurgos, and William Lee. And you talked to all of them. And I guess you guys commiserated, like, man, he's really losing it today, or he's mad today, or he wants this now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And reading your column there and thinking, wow, John, I mean, this is it, but it's not it, you know, there's more. But I'd like to ask you about, I mean, we know about the first day that you told the story in the column about getting the column, but what was it like the very first day you saw, or the very first time rather, you saw, you know, the name John Cass printed in the Tribune? And it wasn't the column, because I know it wasn't the column, but the first time you saw your name in ink on that paper.
The first time was, I was working for the Daily Calumet, a small paper, the oldest daily community newspaper in the country then, in the steel country, in the 10th Ward and on the east side, went out to Indiana and all the way down north to 47th Street, South Shore, and beyond, and north of that. And I'd been working on a story with Mark Eisman, who's now passed, my good friend Mark Eisman. And that's what frosted me about, you know, what Robert Feeder said. Like, he would say stuff about, he would repeat the bigotry line that people used on me. And he knew that Mark was one of my best friends. I mean, my mom used to wash his clothes. You know, when he'd stay, we'd work 24/7 at the, when we were at the Daily Calumet, we were trying to get Eddie Verdoliak in jail on deals, on the scrap contracts. And people thought, oh, you know, I think Axelrod spun this. with his woke friends that I was from the East Side, so therefore I belong to Verdoliak. You know, I always respected Eddie. I like him. I like him the way you like a wolf that right. you could pet and maybe someday he's going to bite your hand off. Okay. But that's him.
Right.
But what happened is we had a story. So we're going on this Verdoliak hunt and we're Carol Marin at MAQ then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
She would read all our stories online. I mean, on the air. She would say, the Daily Calumet is reporting today that, scrap iron contract with Verdoliak involving Verdoliak and Jane Byrne is under investigation. Or she'd mm-hmm. do that often. And Jim Squires and Dick Ciccone at the Chicago Tribune, they started paying attention because in those days, Jeff, every newspaper had some copy kid, and I'd been one of them. I was a copy boy assigned to watch the newscasts, write up a report on what if they had any breaking news that we should follow. So we were getting into the editor's attention that way. And then there was a story. It was another story that the Daily Calumet did not want to publish because they were afraid of Harold Washington. And it was about Clarence McLean. You remember him, the guy with the wig, the former pimp and top advisor to Mayor Harold Washington, reformer, right?
Right. Very lavish.
So, you know, it's nothing. There's nothing like a white liberal journalist to be intimidated by guys who would call them racist. So everyone's like, what? Clarence McLean? What? We don't know. Yeah. All right. He was the top paid advisor to Harold Washington. He was a pimp. He's a nice guy. You know, I mean, I met him and took him to lunch later on. And I went to his wake. And guess who paid for his wake? Eddie Verdoliak.
What? Not,
yeah.
That's the type of guy Eddie Verdoliak is.
I know. Sure. Right. So anyway, we had this story that Clarence McLean, top aide to Harold Washington, was a slumlord. And he had like three buildings, and there were like 157 building code violations in one. There were Section 8 tenants. There were rats throughout the apartments. And he would ride up in a limousine, a city limousine, to collect his rents because he charged the girls who worked there extra cash. Now, I don't know how that works, right? I mean, wait, you're on Section 8, but you have to pay cash too? What kind of game was Clarence playing?
Right.
He's dead now. We never will know. But it was a hell of a story. So the Tribune wouldn't take it. I mean, Daily Calumet said, no, we can't take it. The mayor will kill us. So I was at Columbia College. I knew some people there, and I took it to the Sun-Times. And the Sun-Times was interested. They said, what do you want? And I said, we want a byline, and we're looking for a job. We were kids. I was like 24 years old, 25. And they said, we'll think about it. So I get back to City Hall because I was a City Hall writer then. And I get back to City Hall, and they're going to think about it, right? And Ray Hanania in the City Hall press room shouts out, Harry Golden, who worked for the Sun-Times.
Yeah.
Al Mutter, your editor, on line one. And I looked at him. Al Mutter, I'd just spoken to Al Mutter 5 minutes ago. And Harry picks up the phone on the PAX line in the City Hall press room. Full of smoke and wise guys and politicians. The
smell of leftover martinis.
Well, yeah, or and bad breath. And Harry picks up the phone at his desk across the press room. It's a big open room. And he looks at me. He gives me a look. And that's all I needed to know. And he left. He walks out. I'm not going to follow him down the hallway. Like, Harry, what are you doing? Are you guys screwing me on the story? I knew what they were doing. So I get a call an hour later from a source in the clerk's office. And they're like, I've got Basil Talbot Harry Golden and all these people, they want the records, you know, they want the records for Clarence McLean and the lawsuits and all that, the slumlord stuff. He said, what am I supposed to tell him? Because the records were in the trunk of my car. I'd taken them all out of the city hall, out of the county. You're not supposed to do that, but I did. I don't know why that happened. is there like a statute of limitations so I don't get arrested by Dorothy Brown or whoever's her successor?
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Because they could track something like that with the archaic system. Sorry, a different story.
So the records are in my car. They can't find them. I call Iceman, Mark, who's like passing, who's studying for the bar at DePaul University. Mark, at the same time, was working on these stories with me. He's studying the bar. He's a smart lawyer, great guy, smart. And he's like, oh, what do we do? And he said, do you know anybody at the Tribune? And I said, yeah, I do. I mean, I remember going on a date once with Ron Koziel's daughter. So I called Ron Koziel and I said, Mr. Koziel, you might not remember me. He's like, who is this? I said, this is John Cass. I work at the Daily Calumet now. I dated, I don't know, Donna or something. You know, one date. She was a nice girl. We went to the movies, Coral Theater or something. I don't know. And he puts me in touch with Monroe Anderson, who was the City Hall writer at the Tribune. But I didn't want to just go up to Monroe cold, you know, cold.
Right.
So Monroe put it together, and Mark and I got into a cab with Monroe and about 20 boxes worth of files. And we go into the Chicago Tribune. And it was a cold day in the fall. And we walked through those gigantic, you know, the doors and the big lobby of the Tribune Tower. And Monroe calls copy boys. And I had been a copy boy there. And you see all the inscriptions on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And they put all the files, boxes of files on a cart. And then we go up to the fourth floor, the editor, the newsroom.
Mm-hmm.
And Monroe says, I hope you guys know what you're doing, because I'm going to look like an asshole if this is bullshit. And we reel the carts all the way to the back, to the glass walls on the fourth floor. And there in the room were the top editors of the Chicago Tribune. There were like 10 old men, probably my age now, wearing white shirts, all of them, and ties. There was Jim Squires, the editor, Dick Ciccone, the managing editor, Doug Neeland from the New York, formerly of the New York Times, who later tried to get me fired because he said I couldn't write a report. John Crutzen, and they were all there. And it was like something out of All the President's Men. I swear to God, it was freaking me out. I was like I was tingling. And while the other reporters they had reporters there too, and they're going through the files and
sure.
They're like, this is here, this is here. So they knew that we had our stuff. And Ciccone, Dick Ciccone, a former, I think, tank commander in Vietnam, not one of the wokest wimps of modern day. He looks at me and he says, your newspaper doesn't want this? And I said, no, call them. So they called them.
Sure. They want to be picking someone's turf.
They called them and they said, no, we're not interested. So then he comes back and he says, so what do you want in this room with all these guys, all these executives smoking? Everyone's smoking. They have their, you know, shirt sleeves rolled up right out of the movies. And Ciccone says, Dick Ciccone, what do you want? Credit? And Iceman says, precisely. And I said, yeah, we want credit. So they went through all the stuff. We stayed up overnight. We stayed up all night. By 9 o'clock in the morning, we had a memo where all the evidence was.
Mm-hmm.
They took it, they put it together, they confirmed it. Andy Knott and William Rechtenwald, remember him? He was a top investigative reporter from the BGA who had been at the Chicago Tribune for years. And both reporters confirmed it all. And then we ran, they ran a front page story and a box at the end of it, a box, like a box in, you know, in the copy. Something like reporting or information for this story was originally reported by John Cass of the Daily Calumet and Mark Eisman of the Chicago of a freelance reporter. And the Tribune has verified all their information. That's all it said. But that was our credit, right?
Right.
At the back end, we didn't get a co-byline. That was for the reporters who went through it.
Right.
And but that was the first time I saw my name in the paper. And so then a few weeks later during the Bears game, Bears are playing Oakland at home. It was one of the bloodiest, toughest games in the right before the Bears began their run, you know, their greatness. They were all great and they were young and tough, and they were the Oakland Raiders were tough too. Toughest team in the league then. And after many broken bones and spleens left on the field.
Poked out eyes.
What?
Poked out eyes. Yeah.
Right. And the Bears won 19-16 or something like that. But here's the point. I mean, for me, at halftime, I get the phone call. The phone rings and my mom picks it up. I'm still living at home. I was a kid. She said, John, there's a man named Dick Ciccone on the phone. And I said, okay. So now my heart's pounding, bum, 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 you know. And I pick up the phone and he said, John, Dick Ciccone. I said, hey, Dick. He goes, how would you like to spend the next 20 years of your life working for the Chicago Tribune?
Awesome, man.
And I was on cloud nine.
Oh, gosh, that's awesome.
And so I went there. And now I've left.
Yeah.
And all these emotions are still inside me, but
those emotions will now are the fuel and the fire that will fill www.johncastnews.com. Every week.
Check you out. We got to figure out what johncastnews.com will pay Jeff Carlin, I think, in fish. I think like maybe, and not tilapia either.
Ugh, yeah.
So that's the story, Jeff.
That's amazing, John. I got chills just thinking about that. And I can only relate in a small way to that line of, do you want to spend the next 20 years here? And I just when I started at WGM, same kind of concept, but I can't imagine that feeling like that. You tell me that your heart beating and that idea of, you know, what did I just do? Or like, where am what, I hit it now, what kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then to put in the work for so many years but to hang up. And I know it isn't probably 100% on quote your terms, but do you feel at least you've been able to control it the way it's happened here?
When I took the job as the columnist lead, whatever they call it, whatever they did to it last year. But when they gave me the job as the page three columnist, the editor, Howard Tyner, the one who came up to me and said, what's your next column? When I didn't have one and said, right. I said, well, I'm like I said, the last column, it's supposed to rotate the column. I'm not supposed to write one. And he said, no, you're writing one. Right. Start writing. So when he and Anne-Marie Lipinski took me to lunch, what I didn't say was that we went to Shaw's, which I like, but they said no smoking. And then they ordered iced tea quickly. So in other words, so Cass can't have a cigarette and he can't have a order of martini right away. And I'm like, holy shit, you know, geez. You know, if I'd been with Ciccone, we'd have gone to Gene and Giorgetti's. That would be a different deal. But I love them both, and I love Ciccone and Anne Marie, of course, and Howard. So when they offer me the job and they give me the page three wrapped up in a ribbon, Anne Marie did that, and then I'm like looking at it. As I said in the column, there's a picture of the Pope.
Yep.
And I was like, what's the Pope? What am I going to be, a religion writer? And I didn't make the bear joke, you know, the Pope and the bear. I did not. I was like, what? I just was stunned. I was like, what is this? And they say, no, this is your page three. Then. So what happened, Jeff? Am I going on too much?
No, hey, this would be what I come here for.
So what happened was, is they said, do you want to talk about money? And I don't know, like sometimes you have a moment of clarity, you know, like even when I'm an idiot, I know that. And sometimes I'm not clear, but this time I had a moment of clarity and I looked at them and I said, guys, if I take this and I suck, I'm out. So let's not talk about money now. The only thing I want, and if I'm good, then I'll get paid. Because right then, by the way, I was on the lowest end of the pay scale at the Chicago Tribune. Lowest end.
Right.
You know, I didn't go to college. I wasn't part of the cliques, you know, up there with they started big and nice money. I was making like nothing. And I had two kids, Betty and I had the two boys. They were twins, and we needed some money. That's why I did this.
Right.
So they said, I said, okay, we're not going to talk about money because if I'm not good, I'm gone and money doesn't mean anything, but I do have something to ask for. And they said, what? And I said, I'll do this as long as nobody ever, ever comes up to me and tells me what to write. The first time that happens, I'm done. I'm walking out the door. And I want this understood from you. And I hopefully anyone else who comes after you. And we shook on it. And Anne Marie, of course, would never breach an agreement. Neither would Howard. And they were old school Tribune people, even though she was young and Howard was kind of old. And so from then on, nobody has ever said, hey, can you write about this? Or can you write how wonderful it is for Lori Lightfoot to be a hero, like a superhero? Nobody. And in a sense, that percolated through the city desk and all the paper so that people wouldn't offer me ideas. You know what I mean? They were scared to. So that made it a little tougher. But then I had the Legman for years, and for years I haven't had Legman.
Right.
And it's been tougher to do 4 a week without Legman.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you think that's reflected in the style, or maybe not the style, is front of the question, but the focus of what you write? I mean, without having the Legman, are you, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions at all, just the idea of, I've got to believe that it makes it harder to focus on the street, if you will, the Chicago way, without having an extra set of legs. No pun intended, but
what we did with the leg men and all of them, you know, that it's just two people in an office, little cubby hole, not a big, you've been to my office when I had it, little cubby hole with glass on it. So the people going visiting the editorial board could see the bear. In the cage. Do not feed the bear.
Right. You know?
So what it was like was having bouncing ideas of, it's like working with a producer, right? Like when we worked at WLS or here with this, you know, we talk about where we're going to go, what does it look like? And people offer different options and angles. And that's what really a leg man is good for. And then the second thing, like, say there's a story. Okay, you look at this story, report this one out. I'll report this one out. And then we'll see which one
where they intersect.
I'm writing.
Yeah.
But, Jeff, those were in the days when I could go to 9 o'clock
Right.
9 o'clock with the story, you know, so if the story breaks at six, I can still get it in the paper. The last few years, the deadline was 3 o'clock and 2:30 for the next day's column. So it was, it's a completely different idea. Now, when I, now here in my new life,
yeah,
at,
pardon that's me, where I was heading. I mean, where are we going?
Pardon me. At my new life at johncastnews.com, where you can find all the all the links to the Chicago Way and a lot of other stuff. I don't have a deadline, but I want to continue to write on a schedule because I'm not, you know, I'm not in Tahiti, you know, losing myself. I'm not in Paris drinking Absinthe. I'm here and I'm going to write columns. I'm not posting them. I mean, I'm not selling them because there's a technical issue with the syndicate, but that should be over in 60 days. And once that happens, we'll see what happens. But I'm just, it's like, I'm a blogger, right? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. You're a blogger now, John.
I'm a blogger and but I'm writing columns and we'll see what happens, but I'm going to report them. I'm going to write them the way I have been. And if you don't like it, well, too bad. You can comment on it. You can sign up and comment. And we're going to run it like a news site. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, if the first few hours of it being live and online are any indication of what is to come, because I've seen lots of interest in it. My phone has been blowing up for 48 hours. Is it, by the time this hits, it'll be much more, but people asking and curious and interested. And I can't believe why people wouldn't want to come and get you unfiltered, so to speak, at www.johncastnews.com.
Listen to us. Yeah, right. There should be, in a parallel universe, there should be a John and Jeff that want to bitch slap us in the mouth.
Rick and Morty of you, but yes, right. Absolutely. It sounds good to me, John. And I know it's going to take probably a little bit of time just to get it into the swing of its flow, its natural ebb and flow of what you're going to be, you know, your workflow and life flow and all that. But I gotta believe that you and the family and the boys are gonna be better off this way. I think that
the boys are off the payroll, man.
Yeah,
the boys are off the payroll. Betty's fine with it. I just want to tell the stories that I had been telling for the Tribune, and I want to tell them here.
Yeah.
It's still me. I haven't changed. I'm not, I didn't take woke pills. You know, I need story ideas, and anybody who can, you go on johncastnews.com and change the, you know, send me tips.
Yeah,
what do you want? What do you want to write about? What do you want me to say? Well, not that I'm going to listen to what you
say. Not all of them, but
I do feel sorry for all my trolls. who are screaming, you know, ding dong, the witch is dead. We've deplatformed Cass. And I'm thinking, what a pathetic life, man. Yeah. What a pathetic life. Like you do that. There are stories out there, people. There's like dueling lemonade stands in the city. You know, like, you know, there's a corner where there's dueling lemonade stands. Kids are like competing with each other and they're screaming at each other back and forth. It's like the Tribune in the Sun-Times in the old days. Or there's so much to do. There's a Catholic school in Little Village that has like a 99% college admission rate. 99%. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? What do they do that public schools don't do? So there's all sorts of stories.
That's lots of stuff like that, John. So I think that this is going to be a really interesting journey for you to see, you know, getting back to the readers, the people you're listening to, the people who are who would have kept the lights on, will keep the lights on. I think that's going to be the power of this, because it's people are tired of being force-fed stuff now that they're realizing they're being force-fed stuff that is agended across all sorts of media platforms. And I think the independence of people who, people like yourself, people like plenty of other of really interesting people and writers who are now in the same position, who, for lack of a better word, are unfiltered. And like you said, no one was telling you what to write at the Tribune,
right?
Explicitly, but at the same time, there is the idea of, you know, keeping the idea of what should be written, you know, what should be written to keep things in the scope of what is expected.
When I started, Jeff, there was an unwritten, there was an understanding in all across journalism. Columnists can have opinions, and and you're writing news, you don't have opinions.
Right.
But it became the narrative. You ever hear that word? The bleeping word, narrative. I was one of those writers who was writing long form political stories, and they were talking about the narrative, and that's how it got, we went off the rails.
Right.
And then narrative became everything, and facts became nothing. And then it was like our facts versus your facts. And that's done. I'm done with that stuff.
Right.
I'm done with it.
Well, you're not done with the Chicago way, and that is will be where it'll live.
Hey, Jeff, you know what? Tom Serafin, who the genius behind me having a plan and having a website and having it ready to go, there's two things I'm going to do. I'm going to put a picture of Kristen McQuarrie next to my laptop to remind me every day of the good people at the Chicago Tribune and the integrity of Kristen McQuarrie and editors like her as I write, so that I don't go over the, you know, I'm not like, sometimes you're a horse and you can't, you have to run to the edge of the cliff and you hope an editor pulls you back. And the second thing I'm going to do is find out what Tom Serafin said, which is how can we sell t-shirts that say the Chicago Way podcast or give t-shirts away.
Yeah.
We got to do that. There's stuff like that we could do. Why not? Why shouldn't people wear those to your DuPage County Fair or the Rib Fest?
Right.
I guess for me, there would be only one size, triple extra large.
Well, I think we'll leave it there for today, John. We've been rambling long enough. More me than anything. John, I'm excited for you. Christine's excited for you. You know, she's sees this as a great thing too, and as do most of us who know the real John Cass, not the John Cass that they read about on social media or from the trolls or that assume to know him. You know, it's gonna be great, and I can't wait to be a part of it.
And join us again next time for another edition, because we're still going and we're not gonna stop. Another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.